The Vince McMahon saga continues. The details continue to be poured out. Namar and I talk about it this time on Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Hit my music.
American Dream.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide.
VOCNation.com.
The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog Yo with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger.
God's given me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly.
But thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I do not to respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait still.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world. China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com, Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.
All right, let's keep it going tomorrow. Let's keep that Ultimate Warrior music playing in the background. That is, like, can you feel the energy, right? Don't you? You want to just shake the ropes? Come on.
I mean, with that Big Bad Mama thing you had going on there at the end, I mean, you know, that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You really let it out.
All right. Cut it. Let's cut that warrior music. Okay. Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, the voice of choice, Bruce Sport, Namar Wells. Namar, you know, originally when we got together to do this podcast and I came back to VOC Nation for the fourth time, we talked about it, and we were going to do once a week, and we were going to record a few things at a time so that we didn't have to record every single week. And God knows we're so busy, both of us separately. And like, there's so much going on with wrestling, and I'm actually enjoying watching the product, which I can't say. I couldn't have said that for the last 10 years since we stopped doing this in 2014. And I recorded 2 episodes without you in the last week. That's how much this is like juicing me up. I'm like back, brother.
You're all wet.
Well, let's be careful. There's
yeah, you just said you're all juiced up. I mean, juice is generally wet. It's a liquid.
Oh boy. Is that where we want to go considering the topic this week?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And, you know, I had a lot of time to think about this. Did you look since the last time you and I talked? Because we had some different takes the first time.
Yeah.
Have you read some more of the details, and have you seen some more of the messages?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look good for Mr. McMahon.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I listened to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. I tried to hear all of them. And by the way, have you ever heard Stephen P. New, Jim Cornette's lawyer?
That stupid, they stole, what is that, the WCCW music?
Yes. Stephen P. News. Do, do. It's called Stephen P. News. If you want to sue. Outlaw Macho or two. He'll sue your ass. I mean, that guy.
Horrible.
He's got his own podcast.
Are you serious?
That's how you know it's crazy. Everybody's got a podcast. Stephen P. New has a podcast.
Oh, boy. We are, you know, it's funny because in embarking on this, this is a labor of love just out of friendship. And we have a history together, but you do want to be heard. You do want to share these thoughts with the world. And you realize the competition in landscape is so huge and it is just getting larger and larger every day. I mean, every day there's a new wrestler doing a regular, with some guy. So, you know, I saw Arn Anderson now has a podcast and it did a whole section on, Hogan, and they talked about, you know, Ole and, you know, so it's amazing. I'm like, well, here we go. Now he has one.
He does his pod with Connie.
No, this is another guy, and I'm unsure about him because, you know, I have very strong beliefs.
Did Connie dump him?
I don't know who he's with some guy. It
it's not Conrad. He always called Arn.
No, there's another guy, and Conrad, these are all brand new. Ran out of
things to talk to him about.
Well, Conrad has the hookup. I mean, he really has a really nice setup. I mean, he's got, you know, Bruce Pritchard. We have to talk about him because I both like and dislike him as a podcaster. I don't know. And, you know, being Ric Flair's, I mean, can we say that? You know, because he's,
say that,
you know, Ric Flair's son-in-law, he has a lot of access. I mean, he's probably loving it.
Well, listen, before we get into Conrad, let's hear right now from Conrad Thompson.
VOC Nation is one of the longest running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former WCW performer The Maestro, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Bruce Wirt, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at vocnation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, I just like to play that. You know, I paid for it back in the day, and it's just like, you know, Connie's the man, and he's a spokesperson, whether he knows it or not, for VOC Nation. Not even AI, it's the real deal.
You sure are running it down here, Bruce. I swear. Get that on tape, you know? I mean, come on.
So, Conrad Thompson, from the King of the Podcast, he's dumped Arn Anderson. That's what you're telling me. I think he dumped Jake, too, because he used to do Jake's podcast. And, I mean, the dude had how many different, like, he sells mortgages for a living.
Right.
How many podcasts can you do in 1 week? Like, he's got Jim Ross. He's got Pritchard. He had Arn. He had Mick Foley. He's got Mick.
Well, that's the thing. Garrett. It's like the wrestlers. Yeah, they stay with the guy for a while. And then it's like they all eventually move on to another, like, shoot interviewer. And sometimes they'll get really ingrained with the shoot interviewer where they'll do these long sessions, but then they just gravitate to somebody else, because I could have sworn Jake had more than one. And Jake is, it's funny because you can tell when they're really trying to have deeper thoughts than, you know, it is very obvious. Well, I don't think it's obvious, because for the people that listen to us, we know you're smart. But the average wrestling fan, we're talking, you know, smooth brains and, you know, very blunt thoughts, you know. So, you know, they don't notice the nuanced things. They're all just looking for the next, he buried him, or, you know, or, oh, yeah, he's great. He's you know, another Haku is tough story, you know.
He bit a guy's nose off, brother.
Yeah, it's the same nonsense. So, you know, and you could just see those guys struggling to have something to say, you know, for different reasons. Those are who are desperate to remain relevant, and they love the attention still in this micro form, and others who are just looking for a paycheck. And you could just really tell. And that's a fascinating ride with watching these guys.
Well, DiBiase has got it right. Everybody's got a pod. That's his show. Have you listened to Ted DiBiase?
I have. What do you think of Ted DiBiase?
I like it. I mean, it depends on what they're talking about. There's some stuff I don't care about. So I just generally look at the topic to see what I want. The only one that I really consistently listen to all the time is Bruce Pritchard, because, you know, he generally talks about the things that I care about as a fan. You know, he was around in the 80s during my heyday. He was around in the 90s, and that's my favorite of the podcasts that aren't ours. And plus, I mean, In the Room, who doesn't listen to In the Room? Wrestling Illustrated Insider Brady Hicks.
He's the man.
Yeah. Yeah. And Malcolm Wildman.
He's all the way wild. How about it?
But Stephen P. New's got a podcast, and Stephen P. New was talking about how he didn't think that the WWE legal, he thought that the woman's lawyers did a great job of putting out all this information, because he said normally when you do a civil lawsuit like this, you don't have to give all of this detail, but they did that. And the WWE's lawyers basically did a terrible job, because they left, I guess when that payment didn't get made, that NDA was violated and they didn't get out ahead of it. And they're really in a tough spot, really in a tough spot.
You know, the most fascinating thing about what you said is not the content of it, but the fact that you actually listened to the man's podcast. I mean, you're referencing his podcast, so you listened to him.
Stephen P. New.
Okay.
Well, no, it's because I wanted to talk about it, so I wanted to go out and get a bunch of different opinions on Vince McMahon and what happened. And I listened to Eric Bischoff. I listened to Stephen P. New. I haven't heard Cornette yet. I don't think he's done one.
He has.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
he softballs it. Cornette is such a phony. I mean, I really cannot stand him, because you can tell clearly who he protects and who he does not. And he's a very biased person, very unethical. He's a hypocrite. And he went soft on Vince. He went soft on Vince, I believe. He acknowledged the craziness of it without being definitive, which is very un-Cornette-like, you know, for somebody that's so demonstrative and so exacting, you know, what you can tell, you know, if he lives in that perpetual space, that's his reputation. So he was a big phony about it. So when he goes light or he covers things up by, he has his ambiguous speak and his direct speak, and you can always tell his bias by his ambiguous speak. So he's always gone pretty light on Vince. I think that he knows that in order a part of him to stay relevant, he probably has to be connected to a degree. And I think that he and maybe he probably is grateful for whatever Vince did for his career. I mean, having him there gave him the bulk of what he has to talk about, which is Vince Russo.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Well, and he doesn't like Pritchard anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the man's a menace. If I hear that man exasperate one more time, I'm going to lose it. He's always hissing and high like a cat or a snake. He's it's breathing.
And he loves Hotchkiss, his computer guy. So so you got Stephen Pinu.
Yeah,
Cornette. So you'll bring that to the table. I've heard Bischoff. Mm-hmm. I heard Dutch Mantel. You know, Dutch Mantel's got a podcast too.
You know, in a world where I actually considered Dutch Mantel, did he end up disappointing me with his stupid podcast? You know, you know what he did? He went after my favorite and he ruined it for me.
Oh, Hogan?
Yep. He joined in the fray and that pissed me off. That's not it. It's that they started whenever Hogan has an interview, everybody jumps on it because of Cornette. So it makes a big buzz. They realize that it's a good way to trend. So they're all adopting that format of taking everything he says out of context. And they have to, you know, exaggerating because the haters are so, they're on it. I mean, anytime a Hogan interview, I'm telling you, you really need to see it. Anytime a Hogan interview is posted, you have to go watch them. It'd be like 2 hours within a post and they are already on it. It's unreal. So yeah, but Dutch Mantel, I mean, him, I had to go look. I said, who in the world is Dutch Mantel?
Uncle Zeb.
Man, I had to go look up and I'm like, wow, this is Dutch Mantel. I mean, this is where we're getting our wrestling knowledge from. Dirty Not to say Dutch. The man. Yeah.
So, all right. So you got all these opinions out there. Have you read the document, 60 pages of it?
No, I just read the text messages.
The text messages, which are now she could potentially be fabricating, right? We don't know. We don't know. And that's, I want to make that clear. My opinion is based on what I do know and the alleged information that has come out. There are no facts because we have not gone through a trial and it's all just one side of the story. And you always assume that there's three sides to a story, right?
No, I assume that there's just the truth and then everybody else has their opinion on it.
But the fact that Brock Lesnar was removed from the Royal Rumble and is out in hiding somewhere, that's got to tell you that there might be smoke, more than a fire where there's smoke, right?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't say that necessarily because of how I've seen how Hollywood works and the way things work nowadays. And so once you're accused, I mean, the repercussions are, no matter how truthful or even if the person is eventually exonerated, the first time that those allegations become big in public, you're done to a degree. Like you immediately drop out of public favor and you are without consideration. And then in time, depending on where you fall in line with Hollywood, it goes back into a certain state. And I think that, I think those that are in the true cliques of Hollywood, they can return, but there's always that first going away period. And in today's climate. So I'm actually not surprised about that. That sounds to be right on target. Who is, and I'm not saying, look, you know, where do we give somebody grace in a situation like this? It's just an accusation.
The first person is already broken, though. John Laurinaitis came out and blamed Vince McMahon for turning him into this monster. So,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
That part I did not hear.
Yeah.
Please tell me more.
Let me see. So the lawyer for John Laurinaitis came out and said, he's a victim in this case, not a predator. The truth will come out. That's Edward Brennan, the lawyer of John Laurinaitis. He released a statement to Vice Media about the case on Thursday. Here it is. Mr. Laurinaitis denies the allegations in the misguided complaint and will be vigorously defending these charges in court, not the media, Brennan said. Like the plaintiff, Mr. Laurinaitis is a victim in this case, not a predator. Mm-hmm. The truth will come out. In response to a follow-up question asking for clarity, Brennan said, read the allegations, read the federal statute. Power, control, employment, supervisory capacity, dictatorial sexual demands with repercussions if not met. Count how many times in the complaint Vince exerts control over both of them. Laurinaitis was fired from WWE in August 22 following allegations in the Wall Street Journal article against him and McMahon. He was replaced in his role by, of course, Bruce Pritchard. So John Laurinaitis tends to confirm that this stuff went down, man.
Well, that is very shocking to hear because, you know, people tend to stick together in those particular kinds of situations because he did, you know, carry a leadership capacity.
And not him, sir.
But apparently, so, okay. Hold on a second. So that means John Laurinaitis allowed himself to be used sexually. I mean, does he basically confirm it?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, that's so I'm going to go in a different direction with this. Here's who I blame. I certainly blame Vince McMahon, but I really blame E.L. James. You know who that is?
No.
E.L. James is the author of the book series 50 Shades of Grey, which is a book series about a very rich man that takes basically his own sex slave. And it's all BDSM stuff. And it was the most popular book series back in the time, 2011, I think is when the first one was published.
Right.
I mean, all of the women in my life were reading and like deeply into this stuff and celebrating. Really? Celebrating.
You know, this is amazing because you've become much as close as we've been. You've become, I don't know, is it maybe just no? Well, yeah. In our history of friendship, I've never like learned new old things, like things that we might have missed. Like we've gone on this journey together. And I know way closer to the situation than I should be.
Well, I'm not saying I like the book. I'm saying this book celebrated this stuff.
No, but
and
you
normalized it to some people.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You saying here on the show now that you have been with women or have known women and they were deeply into it. To a degree, is very shocking to hear because
into the book, not the act. The book.
No, I mean Bruce. I mean, listen, if this is your truth,
my mother loved the book series.
So you're outing your mama
and my ex-wife. Right, I could get sued.
You can't say. You know, luckily there's more than one, so they can't pinpoint exactly who you're talking to. And, you know, you've had some girlfriends who we've called your wife, too. So you could be talking about one of the other girls, too. So, you know, we have to put
Wells
that out
with
there.
The save. Oh, yeah.
I tried. So we will have to have that discussion someday. I'm very curious, considering I know them all.
But millions of people, 150 million copies worldwide. were sold of this book, and it was celebrated. And I mean, to me, I remember seeing this book and the movies, and I was stuck watching the movie. And I always thought, this is disgusting. Like, this is not normal. This is not okay. This is not something that I'd ever want for my daughter. And why is this celebrated? Why are all these women okay with this coming out? And what I'm saying is, yes, Vince McMahon is a terrible human being and apparently a sick, sick person. But this kind of stuff that glorifies these actions are why he felt like he could get away with it. I mean, that's the truth. It wasn't that, I mean, he's disgusting and he's got a disgusting mind, apparently, and he takes advantage of his power, which is one of the worst things, right? If you read the Bible. But he felt like he could get away with it. All you have to do is sign an NDA and pay the woman off. You know, you're basically buying modern day slaves. It's disgusting. And that is the problem. I think it's, he must have in his mind, hey, well, I'm paying this person and she's agreeing. And he actually told her he loved her. Did you see that?
I did.
So, I mean, that's my angle here is, I think it's wrong. It's disgusting. It's terrible. The whole thing with the poop. I mean, we laugh about it because it's over the top, right? But that is disgusting. And I just don't understand how anybody could treat another human being like that. And that's where I come from. But it was glorified by this book and the porn culture that we have in America. Mm-hmm. And this guy thought that he, you know, I have enough money, I'm going to buy people. And that's sinister.
Well, you know, over the course of the days, I've been really reflecting on this situation. And I have a couple of different angles. Number one, I think we have to always remember these particular facts. And I think that because therein lies the greater answer to how to stop these type of situations is the accountability of everybody involved. And we have to understand that this was still a consensual relationship, that she was in this situation apparently without force. And we need to change that particular culture too, whether it was done for, you know, because there are always options, and the greater good option, it might be a heavier fall, but can we sell ourselves to, you know, people? And we have to have that personal responsibility. So in a way, and we have to realize that this only came out because he missed a payment.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's,
you know, and then we could talk about Vince McMahon, because I don't think that this particular lady is really so much a victim as a participant, and then things went sour. Maybe promises. We've heard this Hollywood story for many times before. So, you know, we have to take that into consideration and also, but with Vince, if these things are true, right? If we look at these things, these things are true. And then we take about the stories we've heard about Vince over the years. And one of the big ones that ironically, because I didn't know we were going to record today until after I saw this, but you can look up Scott Hall and Kevin Nash separately talk about, and I think maybe together, they've mentioned a story of how when Vince told him the first time that he had a homosexual relationship, and he mentioned when he was a young man, you know, a teenager, he was hitching a ride and basically he was molested. Right. And, you know, but it became a casual conversation with him. And so, you know, when you are not properly treated for these type of things, and then you go into the realm of a business where we may love wrestling, but there are some deep stories about wrestlers and sex. And I mean, to be honest with you, let's be honest, we all know people. So to really say wrestlers are any freakier than normal people is nonsense. You know, we've lived long enough and known enough people to know that, man, there are some people on your block who are engaging or watching or whatever in some outrageous stuff that will have you, it will turn your stomach. So, you know, it's not uncommon. So I hate to paint the wrestling business that way, but I do think with being on the road, the levels of detachment that comes with the business, that it might foster certain degenerate behaviors because, you know, maybe, you know, these people are not getting their needs met. And that's why, I mean, look, I hate to bring this up because, you know, but I mean, we just heard new news about Tito Santana and he had the greatest reputation. And now I haven't followed
what,
up.
What?
Yeah. You didn't hear about Tito?
Tito actually just commented on my Facebook that I was a great guy.
Well, I'll leave that. You want me to be quiet on it?
Tito retires from teaching. I knew that. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I guess tell me. I'm Tito's my buddy. I hope I'm not disappointed.
Well, how about this? And we might save this for, will they talk about it? I'll tell you offline. And it's easy to find. It's not like I'm hiding, you know, it was just because I love wrestling. It came up. So you hear these stories about all of these wrestlers. Another one, you know, Rocky Johnson. Did you hear about the newest story with him? He's not your friend. So can I tell it? Like, no. It's horrible.
Can't talk about Jimmy Hart, Tito Santana. Well, Snook is dead, but you know, those are my guys.
All right. Well, you know, we're discussing our bias. Okay. We're discussing who we protect and we're not saying it's right. And I'm just the information delivery guy on this particular thing. So there's a documentary or something where supposedly, and I haven't followed up on it, but I did see it and I read a few articles about it, where there's all of these illegitimate children. So The Rock has all of these brothers and sisters. So Rocky was going around cheating, you know, the whole time, you know, during his heyday, and he made children all over the place. And supposedly they've all been DNA tested and verified to be Rocky's offspring. And so, you know, The Rock has found out he has about 8 or 9. I forget how many it was. It was a lot of them. I'm not sure exactly sure about the number, but I know there was more than 2. It was quite a few that I remember that Rocky had children with. So, you know, wrestlers have these stories. And I mean, and again, you know, I love Tony Atlas. He's talked about the behaviors of wrestlers. He says, you got to be crazy. And he admits it. Like, he likes to be stepped on. Go ahead.
He wanted to stick his fist. You know, that's what Tony kept trying to follow me around, asking if he could stick his fist. And I don't play that. It's not my thing. I've had 3 wives. Wives, Tony. Wives.
You know a man has been through something because you say that so often. It is
not hilarious. That there's anything wrong with. Okay, but not my thing, Tony. Especially with a fist.
But he talks about how crazy wrestlers are. But remember, though, who verified about what Tony is really about? Our boy Bill Apter. He let you know Tony's all about the lady. He was like, Bill was like, oh my God, no, are you crazy?
Because I asked Bill, I'm like, Bill, what is up with this guy? I feel like an object.
He said, no, but you know, it's sort of like wrestlers have that lingo, you know, with the Iron Sheik. I'm going to break your back and F your B, you know. Oh, so, you know, that's the way they are. And you hear about, you know, the different stories. But, you know, getting back to Vince, I think what bothers me the most is that Vince is married, and, you know, I can't speak for the details of his marriage, you know, but for him to, how can I say this? It's like, did he even try? That's the question that we'll never know in the court of law. Did he even ever try to be faithful? That's the question. And then to go on deeper with what makes a person when their excitement comes from humiliation, and to take a person and to degrade them. Because that's second level. I mean, well, no, that's third level, really.
Yeah, well, that's where, so if you think about it, remember the Kiss My Ass Club?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's a TV. It's something he does on TV. But, I mean, I think he got off on the fact that people were burying their face in some other grown man's ass, you know, as an act of humiliation. I think that Vince was all about doing that and using his power and his status.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, where do you, that's where I have a problem with Vince. And that's why I think a person like Vince is very dangerous. And I don't know him. Don't, you know, it's not like I'm buddy buddy or know anybody that knows him. You know, even the names that Bruce mentioned, I've spent time with a few of those people, but I've never talked to them about Vince to get an idea. And I just don't know. But from what I know and what I can discern from his product is that it's a shame to me that he could create such wholesomeness and then go to be so degenerate. And that's where one of my defenses of the 80s, the true golden era of wrestling, is that it was a more wholesome product. And don't get me wrong, I mean, Rick Rude is, to me, he's more outrageous today. I mean, he's hilarious. It's funny, but he's outrageous. And some people may say I'm a prude, and you know, because of how today's times are. But we know that product overall was more wholesome. It looked more wholesome. It felt more wholesome. And even when they touched on different tough subjects, they did it in a way that it was genuinely entertaining. And the majority of people were behind the ideas of what was right. And that were those things were tenets of going of how the WWF presented itself at the time when it was called the WWF. That was a deep importance to how they presented themselves. We're a family company, blah, 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 blah. They would always push the edge a little bit, you know, but they always maintained the course. But what we saw with the Attitude Era, with as big as it was, we saw the worst. We saw the absolute worst. You know, I'm not saying I don't have a problem with people drinking, but you know, the whole beer chugging, the Generation X with the crotch thrust. You had little kids in schools going around giving, you know, people the chop and the thrust. And that was a problem. Yeah. You know, you had the whole train. That's why, you know, I had to hear, you know, I can't stand him either. You know, when he, you know, with the Godfather, Papa Shango, when he wants to talk about other wrestlers and he acts like what he contributed to wrestling was so great. No, the whole
tradition.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and that was Vince's company. And I know culture shapes things, and I can reason. I can reason in a world of trying to aspire to a greater morality, spirituality, that you know, I understand the world we live in. I'm an action man. I'm an action junkie. So I like, you know, action, and I like boxing, and I like wrestling. It's hardcore. It's supposed to be action packed and impactful in a harmful way. But there's degrees to everything. There's limits to everything. And what we saw during the Attitude Era was really, really disgusting with the divas. And they just took it to a whole nother level, because at the very least, the dirt that was done, and we're not justifying it, in the 80s, they at least had the class that their product wasn't that. And that says a lot. And you can look at it proudly and you can share it proudly. But you have to think, Bruce, you have two young children. Do you really want to expose them to what we saw during Attitude Era?
Well, right. And my kids are starting to like wrestling, too. So I'm not sure that that's something that I want them to watch. You know, I'm trying to get them to stop watching Little Angel. So, you know, the Godfather coming down with hose. I mean, that's the thing.
Val Venus, Bruce? I mean, come on.
You said it. Yep.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that says a lot about Vince. It speaks to him and his participation in that era, what he allowed, the extremes they allowed to go to. It took things to a whole different level. And I think that says a lot about him. And it really, you know, exposes what is missing inside. I just see Vince. In order for somebody to get off on humiliating another person, like your sexual gratification comes from that, to me, that is somebody that has a deep missing hole, a deep missing hole. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Vince, did you even try? You know, I understand people fail, but Vince, did you even try? Because this man has, he's so far gone. If those things are true, he's so far gone. Which the crapping on somebody's head. And I mean, come on, man.
But
somebody's daughter.
No, that's exactly right. But that's where I just implore people out there. If you're listening and you have kids, if you're a female, don't put yourself in that situation. You know, there's not any amount of money in the world. And this is the thing. So this woman she was down on her luck, and somebody had asked Vince for a favor to hire her. And I guess he completely took advantage of the situation. I would say, please don't put yourself in that situation, because I could see my little daughter and thinking like, well, I need the money. And, you know, maybe if I just do this one time. I mean, this was something that went, you know, on and on and on, and worse and worse and worse. And there's no amount of money in the world that makes this worth it, because, I mean, unfortunately, Namar, that woman's going to be in therapy for the rest of her life, because, I mean, she was assaulted over and over and over again. And we can, I mean, I've heard people judge her for her decision and her, you know, this being a greed thing, but no matter what, that woman might have made a bad decision getting into this, but she's going to pay for that for the rest of her life because of somebody else's mental illness. I mean, this is a terrible situation. And I'd say before you go and do that, if you're out there and you're ever in that situation and it seems attractive, because, you know, it's always that question, you know, I've heard this in grade school. Would you do this for $1 million? Just say no. Just say no. You can do anything you want in life. If you want it bad enough, if you work hard enough, and somebody's willing to teach you, and I'll raise my hand, you know, in business, I'm always willing to teach somebody. You can do anything you want if you have the desire. So before you go and take somebody's money to have them defecate on your head, please talk to somebody. You know, that's what I'll say.
You know, Bruce, I think that, you know, we can always say that somewhere in somebody's closet or basement, this is always going on. And we can reason that that's true, because humans have been depraved since the very first one. But we can always raise the nation. We can raise our spirituality. We can raise our consciousness. We can always be a better society. And so there's a lot of things to learn, to take away from this. There's a, you know, like you said, you know, just because somebody's offering you themselves does not mean you have the right to take it.
That's right.
And
she was clearly in a bad situation. She was clearly not in a frame of mind where she was making good decisions.
Well, you know, we all live that. I mean, we live that. You know, you're right. We live that every day. I mean, if we really to take a hard look at ourselves, we live that almost every moment of the day, every errant thought, everything that, you know, that is hidden that we really don't say. And everybody, you know, when you get down to it, people do. It's a strange thing being a human, and to really analyze and self-analyze and really look at the world and then start analyzing everybody else. That's why I said I like to pay attention to people. I like to listen, and you learn and you know, and always an opportunity to grow. And so that's why I like identifying, you know, traumas and really working to acknowledge them and supporting people who really want to, because, you know, you can't break your back helping somebody who doesn't want to move, and not everybody can be saved.
Yeah. But
for those who really want to, you know, get help, it, you know, to support them. And that's why I asked the question, Vince, did you even try? You know, did you even try to have a, you know, where do you go from being married, you know, with two children. And I don't know what his history was. They may have gone into it a certain way. But, you know, even still, you know, at what point do these things become okay? And where do we work our way back from that? And to be honest with you, this is the thing that I think that we need to realize when it comes to celebrities. And I think that, you know, because of my fandoms are so heavy and hard that you know, I'm very interested in the people behind the art that I like. So, because it amazes me. And that's the thing with Vince. And I think that what I've learned is that hero worship has to have a certain perspective.
Yeah.
And you really have to pull back from how we, the power and adulation that we give these people in certain ways, because it does fuel and foster sometimes certain degenerate behaviors. And it seems like from a, you know, an educated guess of just observation that Vince is somebody that came into a system. He was an abused child who came into a system where abuse was rampant, because we've heard the stories.
Yep.
And there were no checks and balances. And we know that Vince has obtained more and more and more power and influence. He has achieved the absolute top echelon of business in America. He has a global export. And we know the other controversial stories of how he has more than 9 lives. Vince has gotten wrestlers supposedly out of trouble. Yep. He has gotten himself out of trouble. And it's a thing, even with these troubles, how in the world do you not stop? That's why I want to know, did you try? And that's what I think. Vince is scary, because I can work with somebody who's trying, you know, but a person who doesn't and just totally gets into reveling in the madness, that's a scary person. And I think looking at the product and in his personal life, that's what I see for him. And that is very concerning. That's why I have very mixed feelings, because Vince, how can I acknowledge my love of the product and not acknowledge Vince McMahon? And I can deal with some things. That's, you know, we can talk about the controversies. I can deal with some things. But this, when you example these things, we're talking about going way too far. Like, come on, dude.
And this was in 2020 when he was 75 years old. What was he like when he was 45 years old? You know, like,
Bruce, I'm sorry for laughing, but that makes it even more insane. Like, dude, you just this old man, just completely gone.
I mean, he had a sinister mustache. I mean. Did he really think she was attracted to him? I mean, she's like 50 years younger and he has a sinister mustache. He looked like Vincent Price.
Because you know what, Bruce? I'm going to tell you why. And this is the thing about people with all that money and power.
45 years to grow a beard. And a whole bottle of Rogaine every morning and Just for Men. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, I should have got on the Rogaine kick early on, because this stress did a number on my head.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I spent too much time with Jimmy Hart not to know how to grow hair and keep it colored.
Well, we're going to have a conversation about that, because nobody has a more luscious mane of hair than our Jimmy Hart.
You know what? I joke about in board meetings. I always say at the end, I say, with enough Rogaine, Just for Men, and anxiety medication, anything is possible.
That is true for the man of 2024. That is so true. But, you know,
it's a gray.
Rob, I got to check that out. But, you know, and I think another thing that we have to realize that is important in this is with some consideration, we have to consider that there are people who are deeply affected by this. And I'm talking about his wife and children.
Grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. We have to remember when we're talking about this and discussing this, and he brought this open discussion on himself. If all these things are true, even if him not paying up the NDA, Vince McMahon has more than enough money to take. He could have paid that in one shot and not have. And I don't care to know his financial situation. I know he could have gotten it done. So, it was only $3 million, you know, and he stopped, the payment stopped after the first million. And you have to wonder, Bruce, if what you told me, you said the payments came from WWE, or because I thought they came from Vince.
No, they came from Vince when, well, Vince was using WWE money. And I guess when they sold the company, they stopped the payments. And that's what Stephen Pinu was saying is, you know, you have to either this wasn't disclosed or they just decided to stop the payment. And it's, you know, it's just a terrible situation. I mean,
well Bruce,
they could have prevented this from coming out. I mean, they still could have dealt with it, but they could have prevented the stain on their company. Right. Well, and I'm not advocating that. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm saying legally they could have made better decisions for their company. I'm not saying that they should have, or I'm not saying that I wanted that. I'm just telling you what Stephen Pinu said.
Well, let me ask you, Bruce, could the payments, well, first of all, it's disgusting because he could have paid that himself. That's number one. He could have paid it in one shot.
Right. More than.
Right, but you want to be a ridiculous bastard and pay it in increments through the company? Like, come on. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But then it maybe there could be a legal reason why was supposed to be covered. But do you think, and this is just a positive, this is just thinking about this, and I know this might be the most far-fetched thing. What if the payments were purposely not continued by new management? Maybe there was
To get them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you said that threw me off because I didn't know that the payments were coming from the company. So that's where it goes into deeper things. It could have been an oversight. Bruce, you and I, you know, we work for corporate America. So we know that there are things and gaps happen. Even systems fail. They, you know, the corporate world doesn't act like it, but even applications fail and bug and get jittery and mess up. So, but could there be a conspiracy behind it where, you know, some group or somebody wanted to really get rid of Vince permanently?
Yeah. Well, we do know that some of the old board was, they tried to get him out in the first place. I mean, There'll be so much more that comes out in this case. And I mean, honestly, I think it'll be settled sooner than later so that they stop things from coming out. But my question to you as we wrap the show up today, and this is a serious question. We talked about Conrad Thompson and all of his stuff, but do we have to worry that Bruce Pritchard, I mean, he's famously known for being Vince McMahon's, I'm not going to say lackey because that's disrespectful. And I mean, Bruce Pritchard has never done me wrong. And I love his brother. His brother was great to us when we were on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to worry that Bruce Pritchard was one of the friends named in this? I mean, they're together all the time.
You know what, Bruce? One of the things that I think is, you know, some of my most favorite celebrities have been accused of some of the most horrific things. And trust me, if I believed them, I would not be a fan. But like I said, when I love the stories behind the art, and then I love learning the business of things and that I love and how they become successful. Like, you know, Bruce will tell you, like, you know, he knows now that I love looking at the audience, how they respond to different things that I might love also. So I love watching when I watch the tapes, I love the audience and looking at things. And I forgot my daggone point because I went off on another tangent.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. About the business. Okay. I know that I got it back. I'm back. So I do believe that the entertainment business, and I don't care what a flake like Cornette and some of the purists who act like suddenly wrestling became cartoony or superheroish in 1984 onward, when people were doing all types of wacky stuff in the years prior, and the characters were as ridiculous in a lot of cases. But when you're dealing with entertainment and you're dealing with, you know, that we know that historically Hollywood media in particular, in order to get to the top, that there's always the so-called casting couch. And with that, I do believe that it does exist, and either half right now, and I would say way more, might have had to participate in something to get where they got. I just right. believe that. But I don't believe everybody that goes through experiences that. I believe that grace is given, and we know some people do fall out of favor. And I think some people are speaking up more and more. And we've heard the stories. There's always been these rumors. So I think there's always exceptions to the rule with anything. Like, for instance, I honestly believe not everybody that goes to prison ends up getting raped. And I've watched different documentaries and stuff like that has helped me come to that conclusion. So, or that everybody's just having sex with each other in these prisons. I don't believe that. And so I think people can get away with stuff. So, you know, I think we have to go into with the situation with Bruce Pritchard is that he could have been very close to the situation, but it does not mean that his experiences with them were the same as, you know, a Laurinaitis. Because one thing is for sure, you will always have degenerates who will try to corrupt. They get off on trying to corrupt other people. That's the whole thing with the accusations against, you know, P. Diddy now. But there are some people who just want to be in the mix. You know, they want to be around their people. They know who they can get. They know who they can control. Because people like that, predators have a sixth sense. They really do. If you watch enough true crime stuff, you know, predators, it is deep with them. They hone into something dark and sinister. And so, Vince may very well be, you know, one of those guys. So we're going to hold out because it would be very disappointing, you know, because Bruce Pritchard is a light in, you know, the history of the WWF and the WWE. He is a bright spot. And I know he gets a lot of controversy. They say, oh, he's a corporate guy. And yes, he does get on my nerves too. But overall, he's a positive, figure in the history of the golden age. And one of the things I do like about him is that he doesn't feel the need to get crass and nasty, you know, like a Cornette. Like, there are some of these guys, you know, their only angle to stay relative is to really, you know, be nasty about certain other individuals in the business. That's how they stay relevant, because the stupid wrestling fans, they love that. Oh, he buried him. Please. I mean,
he sold it.
Bruce, they over exaggerate everything. So, you know, we're just going to hold out that, you know, for Bruce Pritchard, that he remains that bright spot. I mean, he still has his position, right?
Yeah, nothing's come out. I mean, he didn't do a podcast this week because he had tricep surgery, same as CM Punk, ironically. But he has not done a podcast, and it'll be interesting to see. He'll stay away from it because he's not that kind of a person. I don't think that he'll say anything, but I'm interested to see what happens. I'm interested to see if somebody will blame him for knowing about it but not saying anything. It's going to be an interesting time in wrestling for the next couple of weeks. And I know, speaking of time, we're pretty much at the end of our time, and I hope that if you like this show, and we have a pretty steady audience that's starting to, you know, get into us and follow us, and we appreciate it. I hope that you go and follow us. Yes, we do. Absolutely.
We love you with all of our heart.
And your mothers and your fathers and your siblings. Everybody. Tell them all.
Tell everybody.
I love you.
You know, it's funny. Wait, they came out with his figure again, right? I own the other one, but, you know, I told you, they get me because I'm buying all of the Mattel stuff. Bruce, it is, his face is literally beet red. Like,
red. And, you know,
his face is more red than the red shirt he's wearing. Like, it is obnoxiously red. It's hilarious. And, you know, I'm a believer. I'm a devout Christian, you know, and I think it's
Brother Nemar.
Yeah, it's just distanced enough where I can enjoy it, where I don't find it as mockery. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, Brother Love, like, I love Brother Love. He's so horrible and ridiculous. You know, that was a great character. So yeah, we love you.
He got people over. Follow us on X, WWHVOC, WWHVOC on X. And like, rate, review the show on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Stitcher. Namar, this is hot off the press. I saw this today. We are the number 4 wrestling podcast in the country of China. That's a legit. Legit.
You know what? You know, it's funny because I stay up on what's going on in China. Like, I'm very interested in Xi Jinping. He runs, you know, China and their economic situation. How ironic that as I'm watching China go through, you know, these struggles, and we're praying for you, China, a revolution where, you know, maybe we can get some Bibles in there that aren't illegal and you guys could know true freedom. So we're rooting for you.
You see that? I'm showing you on the camera.
Oh, hold on. Let me get hold of 1 second.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
It's a little blurry.
All right. It says number 4, China.
All right.
We got to go now. Thank you very much. Appreciate everybody. Keep telling your friends, your neighbors, your family, Wrestling with History exclusively on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network for better or for worse. So just make sure that when you see a VOC Nation show drop, and it says Wrestling with History before you listen, because I cannot guarantee the content of anything else that you might see on VOC Nation. I started the network, but I do not own it. I do not run it. I'm just here with Namar doing this show. That's my disclaimer.
He sold it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back in, who knows, a week, couple of days. Just stay tuned to VOC Nation, and you'll find some more episodes. Hopefully you like what we do. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up, including wrestling figure reviews. I'm very excited about that. Namar's got a whole thing planned. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time. Wrestling with History on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Hit my music. America.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation. Heard worldwide. WOCNation.com. The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal. Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog. Yo, with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger. God's given me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly.
Thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I do not to respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait and see.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world. China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com. Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.